Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm so excited to introduce you to Duck Matthews from Merge Coffee, a family-owned, award-winning coffee company with two and soon to be three cafes in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with an online shop where you can buy their specialty coffee. They are devoted to serve their community well and educate people on how to get the best out of their coffee experience. When people hear Merge, they think of bustling cities and annoying traffic. Instead of drivers that make your blood pressure rise, picture this: diverse cultures, backgrounds, and talents coming together to create a space for community to thrive. That's what Merge means to them. You can not only find their coffee by visiting one of their coffee shops in Harrisonburg, but you can also find Merge Coffee in other coffee shops, cafes, and grocery stores across Virginia. And here's a fun fact about Duck. He has emerged in our growing comedy scene here in the Valley as a new stand-up comic and recently performed in our comedy pageant event at Court Square Theater. Welcome to the show, Duck. It's great to have you on today.
Hi, Dawn. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yes, this is such a pleasure. I'm so very excited about you being here today. I met you through the comedy scene we have, and I bought your coffee, and I must say, I enjoy both. So, in prepping for today, I'm very curious about how you're building your company and your story. So, let's get into it. What do you say, Duck?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's do it. First question. Are you from Harrisonburg?
So I'm actually not from Harrisonburg. My wife is from Harrisonburg. Her mom grew up in Dayton and her dad grew up in Singers Glen. So she is hyper local to the area. I grew up in D.C., actually. All my family still lives in D.C. or in PG County, Maryland.
Right. Okay, cool. And where did you meet your wife?
I met my wife at a wedding in Ohio. Very, very random situation. We both almost didn't go to the wedding, but then it worked out in our favor. So it's been almost 10 years we've been married now. And I think that was a good decision to go to that wedding.
I think so, too. It seems to be working out very well. I met your lovely wife at a recent Basement Comics workshop that we do, and she is fabulous. I absolutely love her.
I love her, too.
So I can see why this worked out. Now, Listen, question for you on this name of your business. Merge is really an interesting name to call a coffee company. What is the story behind this name?
So the story behind the name, I'll give you a little bit of the history of how we got started. So Merge has four owners. I am one of the four. It's two families. So it would be myself, my cousin Charles. We function more like brothers. And then two sisters, Emily and Larissa Martin. They are both local to the area. Charles, obviously, being from D.C. along with myself. We got together and decided to start roasting coffee. This was Charles's initial idea because he and his wife actually own another coffee shop in Bridgewater, Virginia.
Oh.
So his wife grew up doing coffee out west. Her family had a coffee shop, and she wanted to do that when they moved here. And Charles and I have always been pretty entrepreneurial. And we said, hey, let's buy a coffee roaster that we won't turn into a business, just so we can have a fun hobby to do. And we got to know Emily and Larissa over that time and spent a lot of time with them. And we all pooled our little bit of money together and bought a coffee roaster, roasted terrible coffee at first, just like anybody that's starting something new. And we merged our talents and giftings together to build the company.
That is really amazing. So initially, if I'm hearing you correctly, there wasn't plans to have this emerging business that's growing into two to three cafes here in Harrisonburg with an online presence that's ongoing and growing. That wasn't the original plan, I take it.
Absolutely correct. This was not the original plan, but we took the steps as the doors opened and went from there.
Okay. Now, this is me, just a curious human. These first coffee samples that you all had, you said like anything new wasn't really good. So I imagine there are some memorable stories in that process.
No, it's more of just kind of remembering that phase of being terrible and not having any idea of what you were doing. That was definitely kind of the situation. Just like, well, this looks good. You know, we had no data points or understanding of how heat affects things. And, you know, we didn't understand any of the science or art. We just were pressing buttons and hoping for the best.
So you would taste it and go, nope, not this one.
Not this one. Exactly. Exactly.
So what was the turning point to realize you were creating coffee that was not only tasting good, but something you might want to sell? What was that turning point for you all?
Well, that kind of rolls into us opening our first cafe and kind of how all that popped up. We got a little better at it. And, you know, you use your friends and your acquaintances as your guinea pigs. you know, we were terrible at first and we got a little better at it. Then the opportunity to open our first shop popped up. And if you wanted to talk about that a little later, we can definitely dive into that.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that right now because you started. Okay. Yeah, you started selling online in 2017 and you did that a year and a half before opening your first cafe in Harrisonburg. So what did prompt that move to have a storefront from going completely online to an in-person store?
So I would say one of the things with being an entrepreneur is you have to be open to opportunity. So this was not something that we sought out. We actually got to know Katrina and Ernie Dito through a previous job that I had had as a marketing director for a local company. I got to know Ernie because he was a videographer. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about a space next door to their restaurant in Harrisonburg called A Bowl of Good. There was a space that they were thinking maybe turning into a coffee shop. And he and I were just talking in my office one day because he was doing some video work for the company I was working for. And this just came up that we were roasting coffee. Mm. And the opportunity to take over that space, since they felt like they were, proficient in the food service portion of things as a restaurant, but not necessarily in coffee. They basically were just like, hey, would you want to do that here in this space?
Wow. And,
we said, we got together, we talked about it. We were like, well, this would be a great place to kind of showcase what we do, you know, with our roasted beans, to showcase how it can be used and to do things excellently as far as drink service goes. So as those doors opened up, we just walked through them.
That is really amazing. I like how what you said about being open to the opportunity as an entrepreneur, that you don't necessarily see it coming, but you just stay open to it. And you don't have to have it all figured out, do you? You kind of figure it out as you go.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, we do have a lot of support in our community with fellow entrepreneurs, as I imagine they do in other communities elsewhere. And that's most encouraging parts of growing as an entrepreneur myself is realizing how helpful fellow business owners are to share with you and help you and encourage you to move forward. So I'm excited to be connected with you, not only as a comic, but as an entrepreneur. So,
absolutely.
Thank you for walking through those doors, my man.
Yep, absolutely. Community over competition is what I like to say.
Oh, that's really great. Oh, that's a great segue into my next question, by the way, because you state on your website that you all believe at your core in community and responsibility. Can you tell us more about what that means to you? Expand on that and why you chose those values in particular.
Definitely. So community, especially in a coffee house, I feel like it's hugely important. So we strive for excellence in what we serve, what we prepare. That is definitely something that's really important to us. At the same time, we want to make sure that it's both accessible to people, as well as it's what people want. For instance, not to go too deeply into it, but with coffee, you can have something that is technically a really good coffee that's objectively, you know, very balanced and dynamic. But a lot of times people that want an everyday cup of coffee aren't interested in that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that whoever we're serving, you know, that being our community here in Harrisonburg, I make sure that we're serving them well. So even between our two shops, even though they're only 2 miles apart from each other, what we serve, the core items are all the same, but we do have a little bit of a different offering for the communities that they serve. So with our first shop, the Parkview community is a lot different than the downtown shop where I am typically. So we want to make sure that we're serving people well with that. And then as far as responsibility goes, that goes into the supply chain. Coffee is the second largest commodity in the world. That's just right behind oil. So the supply chain can be very complex. We want to just make sure that we know where our beans are coming from and making sure that those we purchase from can invest in legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting to me. I'm not in the coffee business. I certainly am a consumer. And now that you mention it, you go to different coffee shops and different communities, and there is a different vibe and offerings between the coffee shops. How do you determine, how do you come up with what you're going to do differently in those communities? When, how do you evaluate that and how do you come up with it?
So I guess the biggest thing is just listening. So obviously, okay, you have to make some decision at some point of what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. Excuse me. But basically, it's just listening to the community and seeing kind of what their desires are and then, you know, shifting towards that. Obviously, you don't want to sacrifice particular values and levels of excellence. But within that, there is preference. You know, and we want to make sure that we can cater to the preference of those in our community.
So can you give an example of what might be different between your, in terms of what you offer between the two shops, just so we can get some context of what that might look like?
Absolutely. So, for instance, the Parkview community, the age of folks that are served up there is probably between 40 to 65. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for instance, our drip coffee offering there, we usually have three different coffees on drip and they go through it all day. Whereas downtown, I have one coffee, mainly because that's what people want.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm going to serve the people what they want. And most people want a classic dark roast downtown. Now, kind of going back to the idea of that's not the highest scoring coffee that we have, but I'm not going to try to convince somebody to like something that they're not ready for yet. I'm going to serve them well within their own preference. So that would be just a small example. It's not hugely different, but it's those little things that, you know, I feel like make a really big difference.
It is in the little things that make a really big difference, which is, you're just doing such an awesome job with this, this interview, because it's segueing greatly into this next question I have for you, which is around the fact that I love reading about your green coffee sourcing ethics and the relationships that you have with the farmers. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But first, I must ask you, are these farmers located all in the valley? Can you tell us about that a little bit more?
Yeah, so this is a great little device to do a little further education on kind of the complex system of sourcing coffee. So none of those farmers are located locally within the valley, because coffee grows in a very specific region in the world. You've got places like Colombia and Brazil, African countries like Ethiopia and Kenya. You can go a little further east into like Indonesia. It takes a certain climate to grow coffee really well. And for instance, North America is not the place for it. You need something pretty tropical to grow coffee really well. Now, as far as how we source coffee, most of our coffee right now comes from Honduras. We have a direct trade relationship, meaning we don't go through a broker or somebody that's sourcing the coffee for us. We speak directly to the family. And the folks we work with is the De La Finca family. And they are on the sixth generation, I believe, of in their coffee plantation. And so it's grown quite a bit. They have a lot of things to offer. And one of the great grandsons, his name is Nelson. He moved to the States. He lives in South Carolina. And he handles the import-export for the family.
So, oh, that's great.
We've had a few of the farmers up here to the shop to do tastings and, you know, explore new coffees. We established this right before the pandemic, so we haven't personally been down there yet. But we love working with them because we know who's getting the money. We know who's getting the lion's share of the profit there, and it's going directly to the family, not a bunch of middlemen that are eating off the backs of their hard work. And like I said earlier, we want to make sure that they can invest in legacy as well, because that's what we're trying to do. You know, we're not doing this just for fun. we want this to grow and to be something special. We want them to reap those benefits as well.
Yeah, that's really great. And that's where the little things come back in again, I feel, is building the relationships that you are with this farmer family that spans the six generations, I believe it was, you said. And now they have one of their family members here. And I imagine as you're growing the business, you're getting to know them on a deeper level. And that just increases the power and what you're able to offer us. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really, let's see. I love this already. Again, I want to talk a little bit more about the sourcing process and how that works. Is that what you mean by sourcing, is working with this farmer family?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what that means. Now, yeah. If there were a farmer out there, and we do have international listeners, so this probably wouldn't be obviously a farmer here in the Valley, but if there's an international farmer interested in working with you, what should they do? Would you expand past this family? Or are you going to kind of?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been working with some folks in Colombia recently.
Okay.
That provide some excellent coffees. Obviously, you know, people will send us samples and those types of things all the time. We've been doing this long enough now to where people are contacting us.
Great.
People reach out to us via email and social media all the time. And we sort through things. We just roasted through, I think, 15 different samples. It was a gauntlet for sure. But yeah, people are definitely more than welcome to reach out to us. And, we can see how we can help them and they can help us.
That's really great. I'm just thinking, if you're sourcing through a lot of coffee, I hope you're not doing this at like 8 o'clock at night.
Coffee has no effect on me at all.
Really? Okay. It's
pretty wild. I'm not affected by caffeine at all. It does nothing for me.
Okay. That's true. There's some people that are affected by it, some that are not. So you could do a late night testing and you would be just fine.
Hey, going back to the origin story, that's actually how it got started. we were drinking coffees from all over the place. I forgot this part in the story earlier, but we were drinking coffees, sampling things for Charles's and his wife's coffee shop in Bridgewater. They don't roast there. And so they were looking for a coffee roaster. And we would have Emily and Larissa Martin over, and myself, my wife, and then Charles and his family. We would just drink coffee late in the night. Tasting all these great coffees. And that's when the brainchild started of, hey, maybe we should get a roaster and see what we can do with it. Yeah, so none of us are negatively affected by caffeine. It's pretty funny.
Some people are up drinking wine and you guys are up drinking coffee.
Yep, 10 o'clock at night, we're drinking coffee.
That's fantastic. And it's doing great because Merge is an award-winning coffee. So do tell us, what was the award and how did you win it?
So we have several awards.
Oh, sorry.
So as far as like traditional awards go, we have 5 bronze medals, I think, spanning from about a 2-year range. It was a international coffee roasting competition called the Golden Bean, to where you can submit your roasted coffees for particular categories of brewing like espresso or pour over and a few other categories as well. We were entered in with, I think, 1,400 other coffee roasters, and we ended up being within the top 150.
Nice.
So that top 10%. We got a few bronze medals with that. And then I misspoke earlier. We have a silver medal as well. And that was from that same competition. But we also get our coffee scored by kind of a national database. It's similar to wine. I know you are very familiar with that.
That's right.
There's a 100-point system similar to like when you would score a wine that they've created for coffee. That happened in about the early to mid 90s. And the business is simply called Coffee Review. It's made up of a team of 3. The coffee equivalent of sommeliers are called Q graders. They simply objectively grade coffee. Things like acidity and body, overall flavor, bitterness. And like I said, there's a 100-point scale. The minimum threshold for specialty coffee is 80 points. And we are typically sitting between 93 and 95.
Wow.
So that's pretty good.
Yes, it is. Congrats to all of you. That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. This competition, is it something you all go to or does it happen somewhere and you hear about it? How does that all work?
So it started in Australia and then they have an American leg of it. It obviously COVID kind of set a lot of that, you know. Mm-hmm. Back. But this year was the first year it was back since 2019, I think. So it travels around. This past year, it was in Ohio. I'm trying to remember what town, but it's not coming to mind. The year before that, or the year it was last, I guess 2019, it was in Nashville. So it travels around the country. You just simply send it in to that. They'll give you a mailing address and that kind of thing. And it's usually a blind tasting as well. They'll code everything ahead of time so that there's no favoritism or, you know, name recognition, that kind of thing to skew the scores. And they do a live stream on the last tasting day and announce all the scores. And you either are there or you get your medals mailed out.
Oh, that's great. So this is an annual competition.
Yeah, annual competition.
Okay. I love how you're comparing it to what they do with the sommeliers and the wine industry and the points. I guess maybe they took their cues off of that and kind of adapted it to coffee.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. That's clever. And I love it. I had no idea they had coffee competitions like that.
Oh, yeah.
The many reasons why I love doing this podcast. I learned so much from you all. It's great. You have about, I think, 8 coffee flavors, maybe. How many flavors do you guys have?
Okay. So once again, we got a nice little education portion here. No flavored coffee at all.
Okay. All right.
Yep. So basically what gives coffee the flavors are if you open or you pick up a bag of coffee and it says it has notes of hibiscus and lemongrass.
Vanilla.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, some of them are flavored, but it will say flavored coffee. When it says notes of, what they're saying is What the coffee cherry, you know, coffee is actually a fruit and we harvest the seed. We'll never convince people to call them seeds because beans is just kind of baked into people's minds at this point. But the cultivation, the elevation, all that plays a part in what flavors impart into the seed. And when you roast coffee really well, you can highlight those flavor characteristics. It's kind of like if you had peppers, if you had poblano peppers, green peppers, and sweet peppers. If you saute them lightly, you can kind of tell them apart. You know, even if you were blindfolded, you'd be like, okay, poblano, a little smoky, sweet pepper, sweet, and green pepper, just kind of chalky. But if you take them to the grill, you put them in a one of those veggie baskets, and you char them to death, they all then become peppers. You know, or just grilled vegetables. You know, you can have onions and mushrooms in there and not be able to distinguish what's going on. So similarly with coffee, when we roast things a little lighter, we can taste that. What's that wine word, Dawn? You got to help me. Is it terroir?
Pinot Noir. I like Pinot Noir.
Well, okay. There's a French word called terroir, I think it is. But basically, it's just talking about cultivation and how things all those atmospheric, you know, things that impact the overall flavor. But with the coffee, you know, the lighter you roast it, the more you can kind of taste some of those things. Then the darker you roast it, it takes on what's called the roast taste. So it just kind of gets that classic taste that you think of when you think of coffee. So that's kind of how it works.
Okay. So then the different coffees that you have, there's the difference between them. Can you educate us on that? There's like a bold flavor and just help me out there. I don't know what talking about. Yeah,
absolutely. So, so first off, we have the things that make things taste different. So that would be the region. So a coffee from Ethiopia is going to taste different than a coffee from Honduras, you know, or Colombia or Bolivia and those types of things. So those play a role in the overall flavor. How the coffee is processed after the cherry is picked plays a big role as well. So there are three kind of basic processes. One's called the natural process. We're not going to go too deep into this, but we'll just fly by.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yes.
One's called the natural process, where they let the coffee cherry ferment completely intact for X amount of time, depends on the country. And then they wash that off and then dry the seed. And that's what comes to the roaster after that. Then there's the semi-washed or honey process, where they partially pulp it, but leave a bit of that mucilage on there, let that ferment for a bit, wash it off and then dry it. And then you have the fully washed process that they completely wash the cherry or the meat off of the seed almost right away after it's picked. And then they let that dry. Each of those kind of gives different flavor profiles to the coffee. And then also at the end of it, you have how you roast it. So I can take any of those beans and roast them a little differently and get different flavors out of it. Typically, if you roast it fast and quickly, you'll get, you know, more subtle flavors, a little more delicate, a little fruity, maybe a little acidic. If you roast it a little slower and longer, you can get a lot more depth, a little more chocolate or tobacco, that kind of thing. So that's the quick flyby, but yeah, it's how it's grown and then also how it's prepared play a huge part in what you taste.
This has been so educational. Thank you so much, Duck, because honestly, I did not realize, if I'm hearing you right, this the coffee seed / bean is coming from cherries.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which I had no idea about that. I cannot be the only one who did not know that.
I didn't know it 5 years ago. So
okay. Okay. So the pit of the cherry is the bean.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's split in half. And so that's what makes that one coffee bean. Yep.
That is amazing. So not every cherry is a Marciano cherry.
You would be correct. My...
And I love those, by the way.
Guilty pleasure here, too.
Okay, good. I have a sweet tooth. I think you do, too. Oh, you my God.
More than I.
I love it. Well, you have so much to offer. You also have, when it comes to coffee, you also have essential cups too for folks that have the Keurig brewer machines, I see, which is pretty cool. I don't believe I've ever met anyone that has ever made those, let alone sell them. Was this a difficult process to add that aspect to your business?
Not particularly. So we wanted to, I guess figuring out how to do it probably was harder than the actual implementation. You know, with the Keurig situation, there's still plenty of people that use them. And I know a lot of people have like the reusable pots and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But not everybody has that. And so we were like, okay, well, how can we still serve those people that want to have a better, you know, coffee experience than grabbing the donut shop from Costco or, you know, something kind of terrible that's been sitting in a warehouse for months and months and months. So we found a way to pack them at our shop where we do our roasting and whatnot. And it's a fully recyclable cup, which is really nice. That was one thing that was kind of deterring us at first was, well, this is not really what we want to, you know, have our brand image be represented with. But we found a fully polypropylene cup that even the lids, it's not foil. It's actually that plastic number two. So you dump the coffee out and it's fully recyclable just as one unit, which is really nice. So we found a way to kind of implement that and just to make sure that those people are having a better coffee experience. Well, with K-Cups, typically they're sitting in the warehouse for, you know, 6 to 8 weeks before they even make it to the grocery store. So it's essentially stale, you know, before it even gets to the grocery store. So we can pack it fresh. We can roast it that day and pack the cups and have a really fresh offering for people. And that's what we were aiming for.
Oh, that's okay. So that's really great, by the way. And then you mentioned the plastics was the number two and it's recyclable. So the green sourcing that you do is not just in the processing of the coffee, it's in your packaging?
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. We roast with a fully electric coffee roaster, which is very unusual. Most people have never seen something like that. But there's typically with coffee roasting, it's done in a classic coffee roaster that has a steel drum with a flame underneath of it. That's the very, very kind of dumbed down explanation. And that's usually powered by either propane or natural gas, whereas ours is fully convective heat, meaning air kind of wraps around the coffee beans as it's roasted. It's not a surface heat transfer kind of situation. And so it's just hot air. It's like a big popcorn popper.
Okay.
So yeah, it's fully electric. And so the carbon footprint's pretty tiny.
Ah, that's, jeez, you guys are incredible. I just love it. Loving all of it. Well, no wonder you have this big announcement that you all just made and keep growing, because that announcement is you're now going to be on James Madison University's campus at their newest location, which will be at TDU, which is also known as Taylor Down Under, which I know because I used to work in that building. That's really amazing. I know, right? Small world. And oh, I was a leadership development specialist there for the Student Leadership Center, which at the time I was there was called the Duke's Center. But so that's just, I was like, whoa, I know exactly where this is. This is great. How did that all come about, getting a location on JMU's campus? And will it be a full service coffee shop?
So yes, it will be a full service coffee shop. You will see me over there personally running that for the first while. But how it came about, once again, this goes back to an entrepreneur being ready to walk through doors if they open up. Let me think here. Summer 2021, I had to keep getting that straight in my head. But yeah, summer 2021 is when we got into one of the dining halls with JMU. So we got into D Hall. So we have a coffee kiosk there. It's where it's just drip coffee, but it's branded and it's pretty and all that fun stuff. We did a few pop-ups with them. So we got in with the dining service there. The process of approval to work with JMU was definitely a fun process. I said with a...
No small feat. That's okay. Yeah, I understand.
It was not a small feat at all. Yeah. We had to get a certain certification called SWAM. Butcher the acronym because I do not remember what it means. but we had to go through that and get that process in order to be able to serve on the premises there. And so we got that, started in the dining hall, and then this space opened up and they loved working with us and opportunity presented itself and we walked through the door.
That is amazing. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going to have to stop by and visit for nostalgia and say hi to you.
Come on down.
I'm going to come on down for sure. You're not just selling coffee either. You mentioned over the course of this interview doing tastings, and you now have public tastings as well and classes, I see. That's really great. Can you tell us more about them, what the Laffers would experience at the tastings and classes and how they can sign up?
Absolutely. So this kind of goes back to that core core identity piece of community. So while I may serve a dark roast coffee as my only drip coffee option downtown, because that's what people want, I'm still going to use opportunities to educate and help them broaden their horizons in a place that makes sense. You know, I'm not going to force it on you on a Tuesday morning when you're heading to work. But if you choose to come to a class, to where we taste coffees from all over and get your horizons opened up a bit, then there's room for growth. You know, so we want to collaborate with our community and grow together with them, you know, slowly bringing them along and showing them what all coffee has to offer. So typically we post them on our website. Usually there's an Eventbrite link there with what's kind of currently going on. Right now that's kind of paused with us opening up the JMU location. Because I'm typically the one that does the education portion. And just as a little note, it seems like I do a lot of stuff, and I do. But there are tons of other things that the rest of the ownership do behind the scenes that is absolutely essential and amazing. So I just want to put that plug in there.
Yes.
So with the tastings right now, those are paused. But we were going pretty strongly with doing them about once a week. Usually like a Wednesday evening or something like that. But yeah, if there are any that are going to come up, you'll see them on our education tab on our website.
That's really great. And you also have merch too, I see. You do. And I'm loving this unisex shirt you have. It says, and I quote, "Support your local caffeine dealer." I laughed right away and I said, "That's funny." And I thought to myself, "So are you the one that came up with that because with your comedic self?"
I saw something similar to that and I was like, "Oh, that would make a great shirt." So we obviously tweaked and kind of went our own way with it, but it was definitely really fun. We've got some tumblers now too, so little travel mugs that say that as well.
Oh, is that a hint? Wink, wink.
Swing on by, dog.
I'm gonna swing on by there, duck. That's great. I'm loving your humor. I'm loving our new connection. And speaking of which, this last year, you decided to jump into doing stand-up comedy for the first time, giving it a whirl by doing some of the comedy open mics we have around here. Most notably, there's the one at Brothers Craft. That's really where we're at. Although Travis Valle runs that one. And I think, yes, he does have another one starting up at the Tequila Bar, I believe. So tell us what prompted you to give it a try and what do you hope to do with it?
Well, I love to laugh. I've always thought that would be kind of a fun thing to do. I love Jamie Foxx.
I do too.
And so I've done a lot of different things in my very short life. I'm 33 and I've had a lot of different jobs and occupations. And one of my artistic loves has been music. And so I do a lot of production for that, for artists that are, you know, signed with labels and that kind of thing. So I was like, hey, it'd be really cool to become like the great value version of Jamie Foxx. Like, do a little music, do a little media, do a little comedy. That would be really fun. So the opportunity popped up. I was just on Facebook one day and saw the open mic and said, why not? This could be fun, you know? I think the pandemic really helped people to like give themselves a little push, mm-hmm. To try something new, to kind of seize the moment instead of just waiting or saying, well, maybe I'll get to that eventually. I saw it and I said, well, why not? You know, am I going to be good at it? Probably not. You know, starting off, but get out there, get your feet wet and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, that's really great. Yeah, you were in the comedy pageant. You submitted a video for that. And and we put you on it.
Absolutely.
That was a great time. Now we've talked you into coming down to Basement Comics and working with us there. And we really are looking forward to seeing you grow and thrive and doing that as well. So if you have a chance to see, if you see Duck Matthews on an X2 comedy flyer, you should definitely come. And I can't promise you will be at all the open mics at Brothers Craft, but chances are you'll see him at a few. So definitely check him out. It's really fun to watch and see you grow, you know, in the craft.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really great. As we wrap up here, can you share with the laughers how they can follow Merge Coffee on social media or otherwise to get more information?
Okay. So as far as how you can find us, so obviously we have our website. So that would be mergecoffeeco.com. So that's Merge, MERGE. Obviously, coffee as it's spelled, co.com. We can also on Facebook, so just look up Merge Coffee Company. We're the only one on there, so you should be good there. And then lastly, Instagram's probably where we're most active, and that's simply Merge Coffee Co. So at Merge Coffee Co. on Instagram. That's how you can get a hold of us.
That's great. And laughers, we will be sure to put all their information for you and the show notes as well. And thank you, Duck. This has been a very pleasant and, as always, an enjoyable conversation with you. But today, specifically, to learn more all about Merge Coffee and your budding comic self. It has been great speaking with you today, and I'm very much looking forward to my next visit to Merge and to hear your next comedy set. Thanks again for coming on the show today.
Absolutely, Dawn. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed my time here.
Same here. And laughers, to get more information on all things Merch Coffee, such as their store location, hours, coffee, merch, gift cards, essential cups, public tastings, classes, and more, be sure to visit their website at mergecoffeeco.com. That's mergecoffeeco.com. Again, we'll be sure to put all their info in the show notes for you as well. And of course, lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.